Welcome to the Gut Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
So I want to talk to you about vision, mission, and commission, which are all tied in together. Vision is the aim of the task, if you are taking notes, okay? If you are not taking notes, I want you to remember this. You will forget information, you will remember revelation, and you will walk out transformation. So most of what I say tonight, you will forget. Most of what Pastor Bill says on Sunday, if you do not note it, you will forget it. Notes are important. Studying is important. Mission is a task or an assignment. Commission is the authority to accomplish the task. So Jesus commissioned his disciples to go on missions. Whenever he did, he gave them a mission. He gave them the authority and the power to do so. So it is important that we understand the importance of vision, mission, and commission and the difference. So I want to communicate to you tonight how to operate in this authority and how to stay on track with your vision. This is Matthew 6, 22 through 24. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for he either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Bumping down to verse 31. Therefore, do not worry. In the Greek, this actually says, do not give thought to. Therefore, do not give thought to what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall wear. For after all these things, the Gentiles, the world seeks these things. But do this. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, give no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. So Matthew 6:22, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, if the eye is good, this Greek word means singular. If your eye is singular, focused. And if you move to the next verse, the Greek word for bad is distorted. So if you have a singular focus, you will be full of light. Then Jesus goes on in Matthew 6:33, and he says, do this. This is where I want you to focus, not on the additions, not on the everything that I'm going to add unto you. I actually don't want you to give thought to those things, because I am going to add those to you, but do this. The Greek word for seek is to seek intimacy. Seek intimacy first. God's kingdom, which is his authority and his power and righteousness. Make right decision. And understand this, righteousness will always come in seed form. Sometimes we make right decision and that seed goes into the ground and we do not see the reward straight away. Be singular focused. Seek intimacy with God first. His kingdom, his authority, make right decision, and I will add everything else unto you. You do not have to worry about the additions. Actually, you don't even have to give any thought to them. If you will seek my kingdom, if you will do the work of the kingdom, I will simply add these things to you. And how often do we go after the additions and we lose track of the kingdom? I want to challenge you tonight, because I believe in divine orchestration. So whenever I look around, and God's been working on my heart over the last 12 months, okay, on calling and purpose and things like this. But whenever I look around and I see empty seats, I have to think that there is a name that should be written in the Lamb's Book of Life that is connected to that seat. So then the challenge becomes, are we seeking God's kingdom? Are we seeking intimacy? Are we with God so we are focused and fixated on his kingdom, on souls first, not the additions, not the additional things that God will add unto us. Are there people that are not here tonight because we were focused on additions and not the kingdom? And we forget to tell people about Jesus, and we forget to invite them to church because we have become so fixated and focused on the things of the world. If you are singular focused, if you have vision, I will send you on a mission, and I will give you a commission, which is the authority and the power that you need, but you have to stay on track. You cannot get distorted. So I want to draw a picture for you, okay? And I'm not a photographer by trade. I do have an iPhone with portrait mode, so we probably need swag. But if you're taking a picture and the picture is distorted and you're looking through the lens, your eyes will immediately go to the distortion. Is everybody tracking with me? So then all of a sudden, your eyes will be focused. Your eyes will no longer be singularly focused, but they will be focused on everything that is distorted. So if you're looking at Molly, if you have this beautiful picture, mural, like wall banger of heart, okay, of like Chris's face, okay, like whenever you guys first met, right, and you were hoping he had a good personality, but let's just say it was different, okay, and it's heart's face, and Landry comes by, and she draws a really nice pimple on his forehead. Like whenever you're walking down the hall and you look at that picture, where are your eyes going to go? To the pimple. Pastor Bill said to the pimple, I think, not to his, sorry, heart, okay? So if our eye is distorted, all of a sudden it can become evil. Why? Because we get focused on the things of the world, and then all of a sudden our entire body becomes full of darkness, and it is hard for us to accomplish God's vision. So what did God say, or what did Jesus say in the Greek? Seek intimacy first. Because if you are with God first, you will stay on track. If you have intimacy with God, you will stay on track. You have to understand his authority and his power to accomplish mission. And you have to make right decision. And righteousness comes in seed form. So you may not see the reward for making right decision right away. Sometimes in business, we make right decision, and it doesn't always make us more money right away. Sometimes in relationship, we make right decision, and the reward is not always, it doesn't always happen right away. But it is important that we are intimate with God, because we will stay fixated on his kingdom. It is intimacy that produces authority. When your vision is singular, you will take aim at whatever you are focused on. Does everybody agree with that? If you don't, you are wrong. Vision sets aim at a particular mark. Sin means to take aim and miss the mark, right? God brought the Israelites into the wilderness, and they were going to take aim, but the aim wasn't necessarily the promised land first. It was the promise, sir. God took them into the wilderness, into the desert, to teach them how to seek God, and they took aim at Egypt, at the things of the world. They tried to go back to their slavery. They tried to go back to the world, to the things that they came from, and they missed the mark. To sin simply means to miss the mark. Sin is anything that separates you from God, anything that separates you from God. So the Israelites took aim, and they missed the mark, and they died in the desert. That can be a really real thing. That will not happen if you are planted here at the church, because we will keep you on track. Okay, we will keep you on track, but it is important that we understand the importance of God's vision for us, where we are taking aim. Sometimes we get trapped in transitional moments. Sometimes we get trapped in transition because we begin to seek the additions. God's goal is this, I believe, as far as blessing goes, okay? I want you to think about this. As God increases our capacity for blessing, first he increases our capacity for burdens, okay? God, I want authority. I want to be able to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. Well, Jesus was moved by compassion, so the first thing he has to do is he has to fill you with compassion, which means you're going to have to carry a burden for human beings. You will have to be compassionate. You will have to walk by the sick, and your heart will have to break. The same things that break God's heart will have to break your heart if you want to carry this authority that Jesus carried. God will increase your capacity for blessing as he increases your capacity for burden. I believe that the greatest thing that you can carry in this lifetime is another man's burden. This is what Jesus did whenever he walked the earth. He carried other people's burdens. You cannot be focused on additions and focused on man's burden. You cannot be focused on the things that God is responsible for and focused on God's work, his kingdom work, which is to feed the impoverished, take care of the widow, take care of the orphan, do kingdom work. It is hard to be dual focused. It is actually impossible inside of the kingdom. You will have to be singular focused on God's work. First Corinthians 3, 6 through 7 says this: I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I planted, I worked, I watered, but God was responsible for the promise. He was responsible for the result. And thank God, because when it is his promise, it says it will be exceedingly, abundantly more than you ever hope, asked, or imagined. So if you ask for it in your prayer closet, he will exceed it if you focus on the kingdom first and do his work. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. You are responsible for the process. He is responsible for the promise. And it is his process, not yours. So you don't get to pick and choose. Your job is to do kingdom work. You guys tracking with me? All right. So let's talk about the enemy of vision, okay? The sin, okay, that attacks our life, all right? The big ones are not sins of commission, okay? The things that you are committing. The big ones are the sins of omission, the things that from the Word of God that we omit, okay? It's important that we don't omit things from the Word of God, okay? You cannot omit the tithe and expect the heavens to be opened above your life. You cannot omit being planted in the house of the Lord and expect to flourish. You can't not commit your ways to the Lord and expect the Lord to bring them to pass. You can bring things to pass yourself. Proverbs 10:22 would suggest that God will bless you, okay? And the blessing will come with no sorrow if you seek God's kingdom and allow him to do the promise part, and you concentrate on the process part. So you cannot omit things from the Word of God. I want to take you through this. First Samuel 15, 1 through 3, Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant, nursing child, oxen and sheep, camels and donkeys." Okay? God is not going to ask you to do this, just FYI, in the sight of the new covenant. All right. Amalek represented a sin. It was called spiritual blindness, okay? To be blind. It actually, if you like look it up in the Hebrew, it's to have an evil eye, to have a distorted eye. So the sin of the Amalekites was spiritual blindness. God told Saul to go in and utterly obliterate them. So when you're dealing with sin in your life, the Word of God will utterly obliterate it in your life. But you have to learn to study the Word of God in the areas that you are weak. So if you are If you are battling with insecurity, I am studying everything there is to know about how to find my identity in Christ. If I am battling with anxiety, I am studying everything there is to know about peace. I can tell you that I know everything that there is to know about peace, okay? If you want me to give you over 100 scriptures, I can probably regurgitate them right now, okay? I'm not going to do that. I want to put you to sleep, all right? If you are battling with lust issues, you have to study purity. You have to hide the Word of God in your heart, and you have to speak the Word of God just like Jesus did in the desert. Eventually, okay, eventually, if you stay committed to the process, the thoughts will come less and less and less and less. But here's the deal. You can't stop until it is utterly destroyed, because if you leave a little bit of it hovering around, it will come back and it will continue to grow. So if you are battling unforgiveness, which somebody said unforgiveness is like drinking poison, hoping somebody else will die from it, okay, which I think is probably proper, you have to understand where it talks about forgiveness in the Word of God. You have to pray for people that abuse you. You have to. You have to bless people that persecute you. You have to, you're going to have to get word, the Word of God in your life that speaks, that communicates about forgiveness. And whenever those thoughts come and you begin to communicate how you would have handled that conversation over the course of the first year, and then 5 years later, you're still having the same conversation with that same person who has moved on with their life and isn't even around, and you're still having that same conversation, you've got to begin to speak the Word of God to that. And slowly, it will break, but you do not stop until it's utterly destroyed. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. This is why we have God's Word. This is why we have prayer. This is why we have fasting. But you have to understand that in the Old Testament, God used tangibles and made them into teachables. He used physical, tangible Amalekites to show you what spiritual blindness looked like. You're not about to walk into a land and fight some giants. They're here. You're going to fight them here. Spiritual blindness is now a distraction. If the enemy cannot destroy you, he's going to try to distract you. So God takes tangibles and he makes them into teachables. Utterly destroy this sin from your life, Saul, so you can move forward. Do not omit things from the Word of God. Because if you omit things from the Word of God, it will cause you to commit sin. The sin of the Amalekites was spiritual blindness. And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is in East Egypt. And he took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared King Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen and the fatlings and the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them, but everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. So they kept the best of whatever they wanted. They sought the additions. He omitted exactly what God told him to do, and he committed sin, and he lost his authority. He forfeited his vision, mission, and commission all in a moment, because the very thing that God told him to destroy utterly, completely, which was the Amalekites, represented spiritual blindness, which was the very thing that came back around and destroyed him. He became big in his own eyes. And whenever you become big in your own eyes, you can omit things from the Word of God. You can pick and choose. Well, I can't be planted in the house of the Lord because it takes so much time. I don't know that God was asking you. I don't know that you have time not to, honestly. I can't tithe. I don't have enough money. I don't know that you have enough money not to tithe. You don't get to omit and pick what you want unless you become big in your own eyes, which is spiritual blindness. As we go through the Word of God, everything that you read, it has to be practical or it's never going to become powerful. Every precept, every commandment is just that. It's a command, but it will always come with a promise. But you have to be willing to go through the process. So this is simple. Seek intimacy. Seek my authority. make right decision. Go after souls. Go after things that touch eternity. Stamp eternity on your eyeballs and live a life that's worth the one that Jesus died for. Go after that life and God will take care of the additions. Everything additional, he will simply add. In fact, you don't even need to give thought to it, is what it says in the Word of God. Point number three, God is not looking for your perfection. He is looking for your pursuit. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? Saul sought the additions. He omitted the conditions that were attached to his commission, which was the authority that God gave him, and he lost vision. He was literally spiritually blinded. The thing God was telling him to destroy was the thing that came back and destroyed him, because it made him prideful. It made him big in his own eyes. Do not let sin hover around your life. Literally, study the Word of God in the areas that you're weak. If you are battling with anxiety and you need to study peace, like Matthew chapter 1, if you're reading like the genealogy of Jesus, come on. Like, that's not going to help you in that moment. Learn to study the Word of God topically, okay? So sometimes we read Romans. Sometimes we just study faith because we are doubting. Everybody tracking with me? What he omitted from God's Word became his own destruction. I believe... It sounded like Martin Luther King or something. This is my personal opinion, okay? So I don't have like a word from God on this. But I believe the biggest sin in America is simply people trying to manage their life without God. Simply making moves without acknowledging God and everything. Well, I prayed about it and I didn't hear from God. Yeah, but you prayed about it. You're not going to hear from God on everything. That's why he makes your crooked way straight. He's not looking for your perfection. He is literally looking for your pursuit. David outsinned Saul. Hands down. He had sex with Bathsheba. My wife told me not to say sex from the stage. I don't know how else to communicate it. Maybe that's why she was giving me one of these last night. He murdered Uriah. He used his authority and his power to commission her down. I think that almost makes you into a rapist. Gentlemen, you cannot use your authority and power to have sex with women. David was a sinner, but he was in pursuit of God. He handled the sin differently. He repented. God is not looking for your perfection. He's not looking for you to make a wrong move. Saul literally omitted the Word of God. He was not in pursuit of God. This was the difference between Saul and David. If you seek intimacy first, you are in pursuit of God. If you're seeking intimacy with somebody, you know that that demands pursuit. Time spent equals relationship. You will never know anybody more than the amount of time that you spend with them. This demands your time. It demands your discipline. It demands the time that you go to bed, the time that you get up. It may demand the time that you eat, because if you eat that bowl of chocolate ice cream at night, it may be hard to get up early in the morning. Why are you laughing? You're an athlete, okay? You shouldn't be laughing. You should just be like, yeah, coach, that's right, okay? It demands things. If you are going to pursue intimacy, but you will need intimacy to pursue God's kingdom. You need to be commissioned to accomplish mission. Point number one, Pastor Bill told me this several months ago, faith is the avenue, but authority is the destination. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Luke 18, 1 through 8, so track with me, okay? Faith comes by hearing. Faith is not built by hearing. Jesus said this, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me for my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night? God's elect who are persistent in prayer day and night, though he bears long with them. I will tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man, when Jesus comes back, will he find faith like this on earth? People who will persist in prayer, people who will persist in intimacy with God, people who will persist with vision, seeking God's kingdom, seeking right decision. The widow persisted in prayer, and Jesus said, will I find faith like this? Sometimes after the Word of God gets on the inside of you, prayer activates the Word of God. If it's not practical, it's not powerful. If you do not apply it, it never becomes powerful in your life. So once we hear it by faith, as we pray, we begin to practice the discipline of doing, just simply doing the Word of God. Faith without works is dead faith. So faith comes by hearing, but it is built through prayer. It is built through obeying. If you keep praying, you will keep obeying. The Greek word for to obey means to come under something. So if you come under the authority of the Word of God, you will have the authority of the Word of God. My captain, Brandon, is here. He has my authority inside of my team. I have been with him for like 7 years because he will not graduate from college. So we have spent a lot of time together. When he speaks, it is my voice. If the guys don't listen, we're to the side of the hill, right? We just go to the side of the hill. It's fun. Like, we smile, we go to the side of the hill, and then we just run. That's what you missed out on whenever you transfer, okay? Even if it's like raining and icing and sleeting and snowing, right? We just take off our shirts and run. Hope Coach doesn't get fired. That happened. When faith turns to certainty, it becomes authority. So Jesus arrived on the scene, and the disciples were trying to cast a demon out of a little boy that was epileptic. He kept throwing himself into the fire, and Jesus got upset because whenever we arrive on the scene, we should change the environment. We should bring God. We should bring healing. If it's broken and it's lacking and it's missing, I believe whenever I arrive on the scene that that's about to change. Where it's broken and it's lacking and missing, it is about to not be. So he yells at the disciples, and he's like, if you have faith, you can move a mountain, but you have omitted the Word of God. You stop praying and you stop fasting. What was I doing before I went into Galilee? Before I went and I began to set foot and gain ground and gain ground in the kingdom of God, I was fasting in the wilderness. You were up early looking for me, and I was off seeking intimacy. I was focused. I was in focus. I was singularly focused. You were looking for me. I was on the side of the mountain alone with God, because this is where intimacy is produced. I did not omit the Word of God. You guys have omitted prayer and fasting, which energizes faith. It activates the Word of God. And this little boy that Jesus had compassion for needed healing. He needed to be made whole. Jesus was not okay with the fact that they were not operating in a place of authority. This was not okay. Jesus won the battle on his knees in the secret place before he won it in the open place. There is power in punch through prayer. There is almost an art in praying through something that I believe that we may have lost. The widow is persistent in prayer. Eve ate an apple, and she disconnected humanity from God inside of a garden. Jesus went back to the garden and reconnected what she disconnected on his knees. He knelt down and he began to pray, and he looked back, and I believe sleep is for losers, okay? So he looked back and his disciples were sleeping, so they were losing while he was praying, okay? What Eve disconnected, he reconnected. What Eve disconnected, he reconnected in the garden on his knees. He was doing something in the spiritual that was going to come to fruition in the natural. He was praying through something because we were designed to receive the promise of God under pressure, under pressure. The Garden of Gethsemane represented pressure. He was getting ready to receive the ultimate promise for humanity under pressure. And he wept blood before he shed blood on the cross. He wept blood while he was praying, while he was reconnecting humanity. And then he shed blood in the natural. What he won in the spiritual came to fruition in the natural. The power of praying through something. The prayer of intimacy. The prayer of getting to a place where your intimacy becomes so certain that you're operating in a place of authority to be singular focused on God's kingdom. So we are not focused on the additions. Because then things begin to start subtracting. Because the kingdom of God gets trapped on the inside of us. This is why we get trapped in transition. This is why we get trapped in transitional moments sometimes, because the kingdom of God is trapped on the inside of us. My challenge is this, it's simple. I was praying a couple of weeks ago, and I have goals and ambitions, so I was looking for a word for 2021, like a national championship type word. And God said, build the church. So I was like, I don't know what that means. Okay? So this is my challenge for you guys, to be kingdom focused. Man, if there are people that are connected to you, that are connected to your life, that are dying and going to hell, sometimes what we don't communicate is more important than what we do communicate. If we don't communicate to them that Jesus is important and that church is important, we are communicating that going to hell is okay. Sometimes what we don't communicate is as important as what we do communicate. You are connected to 10 people that likely need to be inside of this room. I believe that there is a name on every single empty chair inside of this warehouse. Only Pastor Bill would build a church inside of a warehouse. I was looking for the word. There is a name connected to that seat, Charlie. There is a name that needs to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But if we are constantly focused on the things, don't become so big in your own eyes that you think that you can do God's work. He will add the additional things. He will do what he promised to do. You can trust him. You focus on process. Intimacy, God's kingdom, his authority, building it in your life so you have the boldness to go into the hedges and the highways and to compel people in. Because the word of God, and I take this literally, says that the house should be full. All heads bowed. If you are in a place where your vision is distorted, man, your eye has become bad. Your eye has been more focused on politics than maybe standing in the gap for somebody that needs Jesus. You may be the answer. You may be the gap between heaven and hell for somebody. Man, if your eye has become focused on the things of the world, and there's just simply people around you that need help, they need you, they need the best you, they need Jesus on the inside of you.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.